Father, we are grateful that we now have the opportunity to give our attention to the preached word. We ask that you would give us teachable hearts and that the Spirit would move freely among us, apply the preached word and the word that's read in our presence each week. We thank you for the blessing of the word. Pray that we would always have respect for it, the greatest respect for it, and always be made those who follow it by your grace, all for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. In our previous study of the life of Solomon, we covered the passage in which God offered him whatever he wished to receive. As a result, God gave to Solomon a level of wisdom that no man before him had ever displayed, and a kind of wisdom no man after him would ever possess, according to the words of the Lord. Outside the book of Proverbs, authored primarily, of course, by Solomon, we don't have a lot of evidence of just how insightful this king was once God granted his desire. There is one story in Scripture, however, in which a Gentile visits Solomon and is extremely impressed with his wisdom. This Gentile happens to be one of the most famous female rulers in history. We know her as the Queen of Sheba. She oversaw a vast kingdom, and researchers agree that it encompassed an area of at least 200,000 to 300,000 square miles. This queen is mentioned in an impressive number of histories and reference books and various religious texts. The Queen of Sheba is mentioned here in the Old Testament, and she's also mentioned by Jesus in Matthew chapter 12. Outside of the Bible, this same ruler is named in the Quran and the writings of Josephus, the Jewish historian. During the Middle Ages, several pieces of art were created in her honor, depicting an imagined likeness of this queen. By the time this queen came to visit Solomon, she was known throughout the civilized world. Reports about Solomon and his amazing wisdom came to her attention. The text says she traveled from her palace through the deserts of Arabia, across parts of Egypt, up the coast of the Red Sea, and finally to the city of Jerusalem to question Israel's new king. Let's begin reading in 1 Kings chapter 10, the first verse. Now when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large entourage, with camels carrying spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king, which he did not explain to her. I'll stop there for a moment. Now, immediately, I want to call your attention to something that's said in the first verse. Something stands out in verse 1 that is not found in the various references to the queen, some of which I just mentioned to you. Our writer says that she heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Don't miss that little detail. Whatever report was circulating about Solomon, it obviously included aspects of his relationship with God. It may very well have been that the word about Solomon was that his God had endowed him with this unusual insight. That seems to be likely, a likely interpretation of the queen's initial interest, at least, as is expressed there in the first verse. Initially, the queen intended to test Solomon, it says, by posing difficult questions. Now, it seems reasonable that if you are going to test someone's wisdom, you would ask that person to respond to various issues and situations and questions. This Hebrew word is translated test, and said test Solomon, however, carries with it just a hint of trickery or less than honest motivation. It appears that the queen was skeptical, at least skeptical, and initially she may have intended to catch Solomon off guard, hoping to disprove his wisdom or at least show others that he's simply a man, that the rumors are not true. Well, this interpretation is supported by the Hebrew word translated difficult. This term refers to riddles or parables or perplexing sayings and questions that are deliberately designed to deceive. The queen did not come asking, "O Solomon, what's the meaning of life?" Now, I'm not going to say that this conclusion is 100% certain, but it seems the queen may have come to confound Solomon and show that he was just an ordinary man. The queen's arrival testified to her station. Look at verse 2. She arrived in Jerusalem with a very large entourage. She brought with her customary gifts for Solomon, spices and gold and precious stones. And while the queen may have doubted Solomon's reported wisdom, she did treat him as any king would have been treated at this point in history. She wasn't questioning his right to rule. The text says that the queen revealed all that was in her heart, and Solomon answered all her questions. Verse 3. In fact, nothing was hidden from the king which he did not explain to her. The queen encountered then not just an insightful man. She encountered a man who had unique understanding. When we think of wisdom, we might think of wisdom as the ability to rightly apply knowledge. But that's not just the case, biblically speaking. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge according to God's will. It's not just to know what 2 + 2 means. It means to know what 2 + 2 means in the context of God's universe. The expression of wisdom does not always have to be some complicated answer to a perplexing question. Sometimes true wisdom is heard in some simple response that reflects knowledge of life, how things work in God's world, and how people act based upon the teachings of the Bible. So Solomon's wisdom, as the book of Proverbs demonstrates clearly, was frequently manifested in his observations about people who walk with God and people who refuse to walk with God. Much of the book of Proverbs is based upon those two contrasts. Some of his most helpful sayings are merely observations based upon what God says about the nature of fallen man. To her credit, we'll see beginning in verse 4, the queen honored Solomon and the Lord. When the queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters and their attire, his cupbearers, and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity, the report which I heard. How blessed are your men, how blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king, to do justice and righteousness." The writer expresses the queen's change of heart plainly. Solomon's wisdom, his dwelling, his prosperity, all the testimony of what a wonderful king he was, how prosperous he was, how God had blessed him, that impressed the queen so much. Verse 4 and 5, we're told that she had no more spirit in her. That does indicate she may have come with negative motives to trick Solomon or to show that he was not wise. He was not who the people thought he was. But this statement means that she was completely humbled before the king. His wisdom and his wealth as king of Israel overwhelmed her. Any previous doubt she may have had, any thoughts of trickery, that's all gone. It's all disappeared. The queen then makes that confession. "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes have seen it." First-hand exposure to Solomon's insight and his kingdom convinced the queen that what she had heard about this man was factual. Now, earlier it seemed too much to be believed, but now she realized that Solomon was an unusual king. In fact, she says, "Behold, the half was not told me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I heard." The queen couldn't believe what was reported to her, but now she had visited Solomon. She realized that all that she heard was true, and more was true. He was even greater than the reports that had described him and his kingdom. So the queen extended her compliments to Solomon by declaring that all those who surround him are blessed to hear his wisdom. Verse 8. She considered, you see, being in Solomon's presence a great advantage. It's what the queen says next that is most important, I think. Originally, the report she heard about Solomon included something about his relationship with the Lord. That was indicated in the first verse. After her experience with Solomon, the queen honors the Lord. "Blessed be the Lord, your God, who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel." Verse 9. This is important. What you have here is an admission from a world leader, the most famous, the most prosperous world leader at this point, besides Solomon himself, regarding the God of Israel. God's had no dealings with anyone except Israel, but he's been heard. His acts have been the topic of discussions. There's no evidence that the Queen of Sheba had prior knowledge of the true religion of Israel, but she realized that the God of Solomon had to be praised for what he had done for the servant. Further, the queen shows a bit of insight, I think, herself, when she says that God's love for Israel led him to provide such a wise king, one who would do justice and righteousness. So regardless of her background, the queen here reveals a true perception of the Lord's purpose in Solomon. He was there to be a blessing to the people. A man with Solomon's ability, she concludes, would be a man who would rule a kingdom while ensuring the practice of justice and conformity to righteousness. These terms echo what the Lord himself said about Solomon. You remember, he said earlier that he would provide Solomon with these characteristics if he walked before him faithfully. Now we come to the queen's gifts in verses 10 through 13. The conclusion of the report on the queen's visit contains a record of the gifts she gave to the king. And it is stunning. The first gift listed is 120 talents of gold. A talent is equivalent to 75 pounds. The worth of this gift, it just can't be figured. Next, a very great amount of spices and precious stones. The queen's gift exceeded anything ever given to the king, declares the writer. Trees were also given and transported from Ophir. These were almug trees. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of one, but they are stunning. They have black bark, and inside they are burning red, ruby red, and they are just unbelievable. They are sought after for some of the most expensive furniture in the world. As verse 12 indicates, the wood was often used for crafting musical instruments because it was so strong, and so it was often used to build harps and lyres that had tremendous strength because of the tension of the strings. The wood is also known to be extremely strong and used for many other things. This explains why Solomon used this gift to build support beams for the temple and the palace. Those support beams came from the Queen of Sheba. In terms of application, one lesson that comes from this story of Solomon, of course, has to do with his wisdom. Once again, we cannot think that the wisdom shown by the king was something other than what is to be found in the Word of God. He did not have extraordinary revelation. He had what God had revealed to him, and that's what made him wise, because he knew how to use that knowledge. In fact, that's the point of this story. Wisdom is the Word of God. That's what Solomon's praised for. While Solomon's ability to do what he did was unique, you realize that everyone has the potential to imitate his behavior, to imitate his wisdom. As Solomon tells us, the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. Rightly understanding all aspects of life begins with the proper perspective on God. That proper perspective includes awareness of who he is and then who we are. He is the creator and the lawmaker. We are the creatures and the servants. And from that starting point, a person realizes that the Word of God is the only source of truth. That person therefore determines to know the Word, and in the process of coming to know the Word, that person becomes wiser and wiser. There is not a man or woman here today who is incapable of becoming wise as God judges wisdom. You begin with the right relationship with God, and you follow that with dedication to studying and applying His Scriptures. We arrive without the ability to learn and practice the Word of God. In fact, we arrive with this position decidedly hostile to God and His Word. So something must change, and we know what has to change. We know what does change. The Bible tells us. The Bible says you have to be born again to be wise by using the Word of God. And that transition from spiritual death to spiritual life enables us to then study, practice, and share all that God has revealed to his people. But the crucial element, once again, in that saving relationship with Christ is the study of his holy word. A second lesson is simple. It shows up often as we study the Bible, but I think it needs to be noticed every time it's encountered, and I'm referring to what this story teaches us about true greatness. What made Solomon such an impressive man? What caused this powerful queen to be humbled in his presence as she was? What element in Solomon's life produced this kind of admiration? Well, the answer was his submission to the word of God. It wasn't that he was a great warrior. He hadn't had time to be a great warrior yet. Solomon lived most of his life in light of God's revealed will. He made decisions, he rendered judgments, he offered opinion, all based on the law of God. And rather than rely on his own intelligence or his own investigations, Solomon accepted and trusted what God revealed to him. That's obvious from his writings. Now, whether or not we live by it, we know how one becomes truly effective and truly helpful in the cause of Christ. But we encounter very different opinions in this world in answer to that question. The challenge for you will be to maintain your confidence in the Word of God that he supplied for us. The third and final lesson is to be found in something the queen said after she became convinced of Solomon's wisdom. She declared that it was God's love for his people that led him to provide a king like Solomon. With such a king, she believed Israel would prosper. Israel would succeed in all endeavors by following such a wise ruler. Well, as we've said, wisdom is a manifestation of God's love for us. Wisdom involves analyzing ourselves and our lives according to what God has revealed to us. God desires, I think, his people to walk in obedience. We know that. And to have peace and joy with him. And that's how we have peace and joy. Wisdom produces those attitudes in our relationship with God that he blesses. Can you imagine the improved character of a life when it's lived according to the wisdom of God? Such a person would have peace with God to start with. They would know joy because they're following God's word. They would be less troubled by life's challenges because they're following God's word. And they would be a greater help to all those around them because they're obeying Scripture. So if you belong to God and you're trying to navigate through this world without a primary dependence on his word, you're going to have to experience a lot of frustration, a lot of indecision. And rather than follow that course, take up the Scriptures. Study the Word. Understand that God has provided help for you because he loves you. Consider, therefore, how well you know the Bible as we close. Consider how much time you spent this past week in this wonderful resource from God. Don't hesitate to cast aside other things so that you have more time to study the Word. Studying the Scriptures will never be anything but beneficial. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the story of Solomon and his queen. We thank you that this pagan queen, with all of her success, she confessed that you were the cause of Solomon's prosperity and his wisdom. And we thank you for that testimony that's recorded here for us to study even now. Cause us to be those who are thankful for your wisdom and those who seek your will in all things. And by your grace, we pray that we'll walk according to what the Bible teaches us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.